All right. Welcome to the home stretch with Adrian Durant. I am your host, Adrian Durant. And joining me today is Jamaican Olympian, Olympic medalist and world champion, Aileen Bailey. How you doing, Aileen?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I can't complain. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. It's been a minute, man. It's been a minute.
It's been a long time. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy that it's 2021. Like, I can't believe how long ago it was. So, Aileen, we went to college together. We went to the University of South Carolina. I know you could have guessed, right? I can't help that this team just had so many amazing people. I don't think one team's supposed to be that stacked.
Right? I know, right? But we're just special like that.
Yeah, it's way too many medalists on one team. we went to college together, and Aileen, in 2004, Aileen was able to represent Jamaica at the Olympic Games, where she won a gold medal in the 4x1. Amazing, amazing. Beating up on the USA. Should I say as usual? I'll say as usual. So, Aileen, you're from Jamaica. I was looking at your stats. You have so many medals. I have to pull it up because I couldn't memorize. It was like you have 4 golds at the CAC Juniors, 10 golds combined at the CRIFTA Games. 10.
That's a lot.
Yes. And a silver and a bronze. Yes, we'll mention the silver and the bronze. Gold, of course, in the 2009 World Championships, and gold in the 2004 Olympic Games, including being a 2-time Olympian. Personal best in 100 meters, 11.04. Woo! And 22.33 in the 200. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay. How'd you get started in track? Because, you know, I know you're in Jamaica. So, like, what happened? What was the choice?
Therapy. Track was therapy.
Really?
I was sexually assaulted when I was 10.
Oh, wow.
So I became gangster and angry. So I was like really bad at school. And I pretty much was in fights, but it was always boys that I was just beating up.
Wait, okay. Okay. So traumatic experience and you were lashing out.
Yes, I was.
And I guess bad. Jamaica at that point, did you feel like, and I know I'm from the Caribbean too. So I know like a lot of times that stuff can happen and no one even hear you or. Like, did you feel like you could speak up then when that happened to you?
No, because I just felt that I would have gotten in trouble.
Yeah, they would have blamed you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's unfortunate.
I just blamed, because I was a regular tomboy, and my mom, like, I felt sick, so my mom gave me a bath, and she was like, I keep telling you to stop climbing trees, so I just blamed the tree.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't know. She just thought, like, I hurt myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm always in a tree, a mango tree or anything tree, just a tree.
Oh, so wow. So I thought it was an injury.
Yeah. So I just went with the tree thing. And I didn't like start talking about it until I was like older. And my friend Zara got me to start talking about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times we're dealing with trauma. We don't even know it. You know, until we look back, like, man, I had some stuff going on.
Because, like, she got me to see that, like, me talking about mine will help some young person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually went through the same thing and is able, like, be able to, like, talk about it without the fear of, or, because there's, like, so much avenues for somebody, a kid to, like, reach out and talk. So
now, absolutely. Yeah. Now, and that's a change for the better, because definitely back then, and then in the Caribbean, like I said, you know, Caribbean culture is a little,
It's like, I think they make it okay because they blame they victim blame.
Yes.
And then it's always what you do. It's
what you wear, what you wear. Yeah. And so for you, track was an outlet. You were able to instead of fighting to get that energy out, that aggression out, it was track.
Yeah. My teacher in primary school, when she sensed that I was getting about to like get mad, she would like say, go for a run. And we had like a big deal. Yeah. So I initially started off as a cross country runner.
You know who else told me that? I just spoke to Dwight Phillips, and he started as cross country. Y'all better stop saying that. People going to think how you get fast is by running cross country.
But the craziest thing is like the, I guess the endurance, it's the endurance and like, I guess, yeah, the endurance from running long distance.
No.
Like you just transfer it down.
No, stop. Stop it. No. No, no, you're not. Yeah, not for no 100 meters, please. We're sorry, 100 meter runners. You don't have to run cross country. Don't tell them that.
No, you don't. I mean, it's cool to run like a, like back, like if you're trying to get in shape, like, but 1 or 2 miles.
That's it.
No,
that's it.
Anything after that, no.
1 or 2 miles, man. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And by the way, for the folks who are viewing this on YouTube, you know, we just wanted to go with the JA. Well, I wanted to go with the JA swag with my high school in green. I didn't know Ailey was gonna do the same thing. I'm feeling that Bob Marley shirt though.
And it's Black History Month, so we gotta celebrate Bob.
Oh yeah, you know, Wakanda forever. So that's how you got started. And yes. When did you, I'm assuming when you were a little girl, you were beating all the boys too.
Oh yeah, it was,
yeah,
of fun. Course.
Yeah, you were smoking them. And
see, if I couldn't hit them,
you beat them.
To beat them.
Yeah, that's a good strategy. Okay, yeah. Okay. So that's how you got started. And then tell me from there, how did it become your thing?
It just kind of flowed because I started and then I developed as like one of our last cross country meet. Like I couldn't breathe. Like I really? Stopped halfway and couldn't breathe. And they had to rush me to the hospital and I found out I had asthma. So doctor said I can't do anything above short stuff.
Oh, that's so, what it was.
So they brought me down to like the 800. Didn't like it. Then I ran the 400. 400 was going okay. And then I started, I was like, I want to try the 200 and the 100. So I was running the 124 for a while when I was in primary school.
Okay.
And then I ran the 100 and I was just like, like sports day, I would run with the boys because the girls, like nobody would keep up with me. So they would throw me in with the boys. And mm-hmm. I just kept, my PE teacher kept entering me in these little, I guess, parish meets, but the USA call it state meets. So mm-hmm. I would go and I would win. And then when you win all of your, within your state, you get to make the team to go to run against all the other parishes and all the other state in Kingston. Yep. And mm-hmm. You know, we get to go to, you go to Kingston, you made it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh yeah. Cause you a country girl, right?
Yes.
What part of Jamaica?
St. Mary.
So St. Mary's like in the country, right?
In the country. I grew up on a farm. I had pet goats, pet chickens.
Yeah, the pet goat. Okay. And yes. Then you got to go to the big city of Kingston.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay.
And, my first time there, I ran barefooted and do not run barefooted on
what?
Turf. It was hot.
Yeah.
And the bottom of my foot, my mom was in tears when I came home because it was like all blistered. And oof. But she knew what to do to make it feel better because, you know, in the country, everything is in the backyard. So
all the healing remedies, the aloe and everything,
so
just go out back.
Got something and mix it up and tie it on the bottom of my foot. And
yep. That's right.
My older brothers would move me around, carry me around and stuff. So it was cool.
So when you got to Kingston, did you win or did was that the real competition was there? And that's when you.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was rough. I got beat and it was not fun.
Who beat you? Do you remember who beat you?
No. Yeah. So there was. So there was Tula Robinson. It was like a group of older, there was Peter Gaydoni, all of those big name high school people.
Okay.
So I was running with like big name people. Like mm-hmm. if you check them out, no, they're like big name people. And yeah.
You're a big way. Hold on. If you check them out now, Miss 15 gold medals. What are you talking about?
No, but yeah. I cried. I went home, cried without my blisters, and I came back the next year. My teacher saved up enough money to get, you know, those little white shoes, the little thin ones. I don't know if it's like the little Keds.
Okay.
Keds. Yeah, I got my first pair of Keds.
So you didn't have any shoes to run in. So you finally got some shoes to run in. Everyone saved.
But
saved
I would
up.
Train, like I was still trained for it, trained barefooted, like where I'm at my school because it's the grass field.
Okay.
And, but then when I have to go to like the stadiums and stuff, stuff, like my kids went with me. So my second year on my kids and I got second.
Uh-oh.
It's like, okay, we improve it.
In Kingston, second.
Yes.
Okay. Who was first? Do you remember who was first then?
Who was it?
Was anyone who like, anyone who was in Athens with you in 04 competing against you in those days? Like, were you running head to head against them all that time?
No, I was, because everybody I was older than.
Okay.
Athens, everybody I was older than.
Okay.
I think a lot of the people that beat me, like, they never.
Their careers didn't blow up.
Yeah, they didn't blow up. So, but yeah, it was cool. My second year, I got second. And then somebody sponsored me some spikes, my third.
You're literally running for your shoes.
And I went gangster. So I won. And then that was when, because Jamaica high school recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when like all the big high schools like Manchester, St. Jago, St. Mary I.
Oh, so also this is you in primary. So now the high schools. See, that's the crazy thing. People the
high schools
track
are
tracking. So listen to this, folks. This is track and field in Jamaica. Now, as we know, obviously, like it's not like it's a ton of money in it at that point, but it's popular. Like it's a real competitive thing. Like if you're racing in track and field in primary school, it's the real deal in Jamaica. And so now you're saying this is just primary school days. And now the high schools are recruiting you like, okay, come to this high school. Okay, which one did you end up going to?
I ended up going to Vera Technical and they were the last one that came. And I think I was in my last and final fight that day.
Your fight? Okay. So you stopped beating people up that day?
It just happened. So the thing is, I was being good. And I guess because I was popular, boys felt that they were trying to talk to me, but I wasn't interested. So this one boy didn't take no for an answer. So he punched me and chipped my tooth.
What?
Yeah, boys were mean.
Man, y'all stop making this. Is it making Jamaica?
No, but I guess he didn't take. But I was raised with my brother Desmond, Mavin, and Ricky, and they've trained me really well
to fight.
Yes.
So you have hands. Okay, you got hands. Well, you look. You seem like you have hands anyway.
Yeah. So I threw him off. We had like a high thing. Like there's like a thing that's super high, like a wall. So he was just standing on it, and I just like ran, like backed up and ran and just stomped him off it.
Please
he fell
stop.
And broke his arm.
We have kids listening.
I just stomped him. Because my brother says to never let anybody get close. Always use your foot to keep them away.
Okay. This sounds like some advice growing up in the Caribbean. It sounded like it to me.
I did what my brothers taught me to do. Because they always taught me to protect myself.
That's good.
Well, me and my brothers fight. They beat me up all the time. But nobody else could beat me up. My brothers, we fight. We're just siblings. You fight all the time. But nobody else can hit you. So.
Exactly. And plus, I like to joke and laugh about the Caribbean, but it can be rough growing up in the Caribbean,
as
we know. Like it's beautiful beaches and sunny and everything, but it's just the nature of it is rough. It
can be mean.
Yeah. It's just a culture. It's a culture thing, I guess. But
not everybody is mean. Every once in a while, you get one or two mean people, but then not everybody is that. So,
It's like crazy because it's like everyone's nice, like good morning. You walk into the bakery, good morning. But then is that also the other side where like it can be rough.
Go left real quick.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
I enjoy growing. I love growing up in Jamaica and like all my experience. Like it's what made me who I am. But it's good. So like my last high school, Veritech, and I went because I started getting interested in track because I just was obsessed with Merlin Otte.
So when
Veritech came, I was like, well, these are the people that went to our school and they were like Merlin Otte. Because I was ready to go to Manchester High School. And Veritech came and was like, yeah, Merlin Otte used to go to our school and you'll be staying in the same dorm that she stayed in.
What's the high school? That's wild.
Like, okay, cool. I'm definitely going there. Yeah. And that's how I went to Bear Technical High School. And wow. As you know, like, Veronica was there, Beverly McDonald, Dion Emmons. Like, there's like a bunch of Olympians that came from.
Okay,
that
so school. Veronica Campbell was at school, was yeah, in high school with like, you.
Yeah.
That's some good training. That's a good little training group.
Oh, it was gangster.
I bet. In high school.
Yeah. High school was gangster. It was like, it was fun. Like, every day was fun. And we lived together. So we didn't see our parents until the weekend. So.
Okay.
So we created that bond. And like the older kids protected the younger ones, and Veronica was younger, so anyone look at them the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah, you go beat them up. I got you. Yeah. So so the high school days, I mean, it obviously was really competitive. I mean, who was your main rival? I mean, you had Veronica, y'all sound like y'all was stacked. So who was your main rival?
So I had Keisha Downer from San Diego, Keisha Robb from St. Jago, Tulia Robinson from Manchester High School, Maria from Immaculate, oh God, Casey McCoy. There's so many people.
A lot of rivalries, yeah.
Ladders, yeah. It was just like track in Jamaica is like next level.
Yeah, it is.
High school track is like next level.
Yeah, it's unreal. And how do you get from, you know, high school in Jamaica to the University of South Carolina? I know there was a stop before then.
So I started being bad again. So my grades were slipping, which is why I had to go to a junior college.
You slipping on the track too? Or was it just the grades?
No, track was good. I just kept getting kicked off because I kept back-talking the coach.
Oh, boy. Don't back-talk your coaches, yeah. Folks.
But when I was 16, two very important persons came into my life, and they're still in my life right now. One is, well, a bunch of them. Timothy Spencer, Miss Daly, and Soyini, my best friend. She's a head coach at Charleston Southern University right now. Okay. So they came in my life. Yeah. So Annie was gangster. I was bad. I was always beating up somebody. So she smacked some sense into me. She literally smacked some sense into me. Like smack. Like literally, like call up, like, you know, drip me up. Smack some sense. So my grades were slipping, and she was like, you know, you're not gonna be like, not gonna be no here. And because people you're in like if you're if you act a specific way, you're classified or like you're just going to be having kids and not anything. So she was like, you're not going to have no kids. You're going to college. And we're studying. So I had to study, got my grades up. And I got a scholarship to go to Barton County Community College. And I was there for 2 years and I did really well there.
I'm going to talk about Barton in a second. But that's interesting because there's always somebody. There's always somebody in all these stories. There's somebody.
Yes, there's somebody.
Everybody. There's always somebody who's supporting these people. So you can be that somebody. You can be that somebody for somebody. You know, you never know. I mean, but if you've been listening to these episodes and all of these medalists, none of them were alone. You know, we all need support.
You can't do it alone.
No matter how tough we think we are, we need support.
Yeah, because I thought I was tough.
Thought you were tough.
Until Saini came along. She was tougher.
Now Barton. Now Barton. Barton was ridiculous because how many like Olympic gold medalists were in your training group at Barton? It's like because when you was there, Tyson was there, Spearman was there.
Yeah, Tyson was before. Tyson was right after me. So Tyson was a year or two younger. So Tyson was there on Tyson and Veronica and Omar.
And Spearman and Omar.
Spearman. And yeah, they were there. My group, Hylis Fountain, she's an Olympian. She's a heptathlon for the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Levan Sands.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. John. Was it John?
That's right. I forgot Levan went to Barton. You're right.
Yeah, John Moffitt. God, what's the other jumper name for the U.S.? Why am I not remembering his name?
Barton was a power.
Like, yeah, it was a power school, and I have like, yeah. And there's all the people that were there.
Because most of you guys, a lot of you ended up in SEC. I mean, you ended up at South Carolina, Veronica, Omar, a bunch of them, Arkansas.
Yeah, and then like Coach a bunch Brown. Of people went to LSU. Monique Hall, she went to LSU. Who else was on the team with me? So it was like a stack. She's from Angela. No, she's from your country. She was there with me. Why am I not remembering?
My country.
Yeah, she ran
Virgin Islands.
Is it Virgin Islands?
No, because Virgin Islands would be Laverne.
No, yeah, no. Laverne was there.
Laverne
was at Barton.
Laverne went to Barton?
Yeah.
Wow. Sheesh.
Jeez.
At Barton. Everybody I know went to Barton.
Yeah. It's like I knew she was somebody from your country was there.
a lot of fast people.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah, that's wild. All you guys ended up in the SEC and all these fast schools.
Yeah.
And you ended up at South Carolina. To be there for that. I mean, it was the perfect storm at South Carolina. I mean, I've already interviewed a few folks who were there, and it's like you guys just had this powerful, crazy powerful group.
Yeah.
2002. Yeah. I want to hear your perspective, 2000, because that was when I was still in high school. So I was just watching South Carolina. Like, I want to go there next year, you know. But y'all, South Carolina, 2002, national championship. You were a big piece of that too. Tell me about it.
It was great. It went great. The only hiccup is that I got disqualified from the 100.
That's right.
Yeah. But I think me getting disqualified from the 100 was like it did something to the team.
Really? Oh, they got motivated? Were they like upset?
They turned it up.
Oh, you were considered a baby?
Because Demetria was there. We were all the same age, but I was like the one. I was like the introvert. I never went out. I went out every once in a while, but I was like this little, yeah. And I cried. I was crying after they disqualified me. I was crying, and Demetria went into mommy mode. And the camera people were following me, and she snapped at me. Love that. I was so proud.
Oh, she snapped on the photographers?
Yes, because I was crying, and they were following me. And carrying me away from them, and they kept following. I was like, Derek, good day. Handle them for me. But it was an amazing team, and my teammates were like pigs. Like, Lashinda, Altiff, Erica, everybody, we were all pissed off. And they went out there, and Demetria gave me a pep talk because I wasn't even supposed to make the 200 finals.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't predict me to make the 200 finals. And Demetria and the crew gave me my little pep talk. Coach Fry brushed it off. Mama Fry was there, you know. She, Coach D, Coach Brown, like Coach Rosenthal, Coach Sarge, like the team was just. And then the men, John, Otis, male team was like, yeah, had us like riled up, like ready to go.
Yeah, it was hype. It was a lot of energy.
So we just went out there and went gangster. And then
You got second in the 200, right?
I got second in the 200. I was trying to win though. Demetria said, aim to win. Anything happens, we are good.
So you have the NCAA championship, DQ'd out the 100, crying, and come back and get second in the 200.
Yeah. And it was it was a fellow Caribbean person that beat me. So I wasn't too upset.
Okay.
She was from, I can't remember which island she was from, but she was really good though. But they didn't expect me. And then our 4x1, they didn't expect us to win that either. But yeah, I was mad.
So, yeah, y'all rolled out in a 4x1. That was just an exciting meet in general.
The aim, we were trying to win everything. And then the 400 hurdles, I think we got 1, 2, 3. The 400, I think we, was it 1, 2? I know Shinda won. There was Shinda, Siobhan, Tiff, and Tecida.
Yeah, the four hurdles, yeah.
Yeah, four hurdles. I know Shinda won. And then, like, dude, Shinda is gangster, man. Shinda ran the 400, too, and the four hurdles.
And didn't Lisa get second in the four? That was where Lisa got second, right?
I think so, yeah.
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 She jumped up and got second in the four.
Yeah, and Demetra won. Is it Demetra that won? I don't know who. I think Demetra won the four. But yeah, we went out there. They were like, they're like, okay, yeah, you pissed us off for taking this championship.
And the next year, you came back with a vengeance.
Yes, they disrespected me.
How did they disrespect you?
Because like the Mona Lee at the time was the favorite.
Okay.
And Carl Lewis's sister was like, yeah, well, we don't see anybody out there that could, you know.
You know, people don't get how much that can motivate you when you hear something like that. So she said on the broadcast.
Yes. Uh-huh. My best in the rounds. And I was like.
She said there's nobody. She doesn't see anybody out there who
can. Didn't want to see anybody else that can contest. And I was like, Coach Fry, you heard what she said? Coach Fry was like, yeah. What you going to do about it? It's like, all right, Coach. All right, cool. I was like, mm-mm. So I won the 100, and I was like, what? I didn't realize I won. When I realized I won, I was like, I couldn't even talk. I was like, where at the what? I think what I was saying is like, where's Coach Fry? Because that's who I was trying to find, and but my teammates were there, and you know. They hugged me. Erica was in the 100 with me too. But I was not predicted to do that well at the 2003 NCs because SECs are what? I think I got like third or fourth in each event.
And you stepped up and won both.
Yeah. So 100 came along. I had all this confidence. And then the coolest thing, Sonia's parents were there and her dad. Her mom and dad are Jamaican and Sonia is Jamaican. Okay. And like her parents was like all like cheering. Like I could hear her parents in the stand. Because I'm Jamaican. So
yeah, exactly. You hit an accent.
So
yeah.
I could hear them cheering. In the hunt when I got to the half point at 100, I could hear them cheering for me. And I was like, okay, I can hear people cheering for me. It means I'm in the good spot. It was them. And it's the same thing in the 200. Whenever I got right there, them again. I was like, okay, means I'm doing good.
So, you didn't even know you were winning.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know I was winning. I just like heard my name and just ran. And it was them. Sonia's parents was at that specific spot all the time cheering.
And double at the SC.
Yeah. And it was there. I think it was them and this other person that was there. But they have a nickname for me. They keep calling me Isla because the person couldn't pronounce my name correctly.
Oh, they couldn't.
So the person was calling me Isla, but Sonia's parents knew my name. So they were like, so they told me that my new name was Isla.
Wow.
So in the 200 when I ran by, and then when I won, I ran back and like I hugged them because it's home. They're home. So it's like having your bonus parents there. And they were like so proud.
And that's Sonia Richards Ross, right? So for the folks listening.
Yeah. Sonia, I knew Sonia from like Jamaica because she went to Voss for it. Sonia was gangster when she was little.
Yeah. It sounded like all y'all were pretty good.
Yes. She went to Voss Prep was one of the dominant prep school in Jamaica for track, and she was like dominating that Voss.
But you know, it makes sense when you talk about track in Jamaica. It makes sense why a Usain Bolt would come out of Jamaica. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, kids are training on grass tracks, barefoot. And they're out there, and coaches aren't making any money, but they're out there learning the craft, and they're teaching them drills at a young age, and they take it very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, our coaches are pretty much our PE teachers, like mm-hmm. right, from from, what you call it? They call it kindergarten, from kindergarten, what we call it basic school, from kindergarten to high school in Jamaica, your coaches are pretty much PE teachers. Your PE teachers are, so yeah. And we like in Jamaica, you are taught the skills from basic school, which is elementary school here. So you go to like a basic school or a prep school, the little 3-year-olds, like they're gangsta.
Yeah, like they do what we're doing up here in 8th and 9th grade. They're ready. Yeah.
Because we have like little sports day where we do like different things. They'll have like the shoes and socks race, or they have like the potato race where they have like a little bucket and they race. So they're pretty much doing suicides because they have to race down and pick up at different points. So they're pretty much like, and you're taught how to do your high knees, your walking high knees, everything, your arms and everything.
Yeah. So it's opportunity. It's like I say about track all the time. It's an opportunity sport. I mean, even there, they're doing it. I always say, all you need are, you know, your 2 feet. That's all you need for track. Yeah. And so all these kids are learning teamwork. They're learning to be determined and how to put their energy into something that they're enjoying, but they can get better at, and they're seeing results. And, keeps, like in your case, it was a vehicle to keep you out of trouble, you know, from lashing out. And it was a vehicle for you to channel that energy positively. Yeah. And this is what a sport like track provides. I mean, a country like Jamaica, where you could be barefoot if need be. You don't need it. You could be on a grass track or in sand, as long as it's giving you something. And kids need this stuff, especially to build self-esteem and confidence. Yeah. Like getting good at it. Like when you start kicking butt, you're like, oh man, I'm good at something. I didn't think I would. Sometimes you don't even know you're good at something.
Yeah. And they start you early. Like in Jamaica, they start you early. So like, I think we start school when we're 3. So and everything is at school. So PE is pretty much, you learn to play soccer. You learn to play tennis. You learn to play any sport. You just learn to play. So from your 3, they're giving you like a soccer ball to kick around.
And that's so important. I heard schools these days don't have PE or something like that. I don't know, but.
Kids need that. Because they learn to work with other kids. And like if they're upset about something, like that's an avenue. They just go out and, you know, play football. I used to arm wrestle all the time. wrestler at recess, you get to play, we get two breaks.
You still look like, you know, you still look,
I've been
like
working, I've been doing my push-ups, I've been doing my track is at work and stuff, but you get, kids need to like release that energy, so
for sure. So you went to your first Olympic Games 2004. I was actually there with you. I don't know if you remember, you gave me this Jamaican bag, which is pretty cool, with some of your gear.
Oh, yeah.
So I got some Jamaican. Yeah, hook me up with the Jamaican gear, the Jamaican jacket.
I know, because it was like the craziest thing is like our unit, like everybody wants our uniform.
Because it's like the green and yellow, you see it everywhere, and y'all are super noticeable, and y'all, it looks good.
Yeah, so like, oh, cool, need some gear, all right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then y'all were popping. You won a gold at that meet, didn't you?
Yes. There I was go. A part of the women's 4x1 relay. Woo. Yeah, so that's good. And then, it was the best day of my life. It's the best Olympic of my life and the worst Olympic of my life.
How so?
That 4th place, man, I would prefer 5th. That 4th place is painful.
Oh, because when you're 1 spot out of a medal.
Yeah.
Oh, which one? Was that the 100?
The 200.
That was a
200. Yeah, 4th place is painful.
Because you're like, I just missed the bronze.
Just missed it by a little bit. But
then came back in the relay.
Yeah, and then I came back in the relay, and we accomplished something that Jamaica have been trying to do for a decade.
Was that the first medal in a decade? The first gold in a 4x1?
First gold medal ever for Jamaica at the Olympics.
Wait. We can't just glaze over this stuff. Are you telling me that the gold medal that you were a part of, the 4x1 relay, women's 4x1 at the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, where you guys won it. That was the first gold medal from Jamaica.
In the 4x1.
In the 4x1. And how long?
Never. We've never won it.
Ever. Oh, ever. Man. You're a legend. You're a legend. Okay. I hope
and
they
have
you.
And Veronica's gold medal was the first sprint gold medal.
Oh, man. I love being part of one of the greatest errors in track. Y'all all just.
Yeah, that's why I wanted cool. to win the bronze medal, because then it would have been the first.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But it was good, though. It was amazing.
And then Athens, for it to be Athens, you know, the home of the Olympics. That was pretty cool.
To do it, yeah. And it was a beautiful city, too. And it was a beautiful time, man. My teammates. Yeah, we did good. And
it was good. That's exciting.
It is a wonderful experience. Yeah.
Yeah, the Olympic Games. People, I mean, you know, we talk about it, but it's like the Olympics, you know? And when you're there, it's hard to describe that, you know, the ceremonies and the energy. And even like the people, you know, they want you to sign their forehead, you know, please sign my forehead. Sign my
In Europe, track is like a big thing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had like a whole our pitchers are trading cards.
Oh yeah, so they go wild.
They literally have like a convention.
Yeah, and the pins. Oh, those pins. I mean, that's like gold.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm from the VI, so we have a limited amount of pins. So we walk around like big shots, like, oh, you want a VI pin, huh?
Yeah, that's you know, that's special edition, limited edition pins.
There's one country that has a pin that everybody wants. And let me clarify for the folks who are listening and watching. Now, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to clarify. So, folks, when you're at a world championship in track or the Olympic Games, every country has these little pins that they give out to their athletes, a bag of pins. You know, you could stick it onto your shirt or whatever. And it's a pin with your country. So USA, we usually have like a variation of the USA flag with the USA logo on it, et cetera, et cetera. And so every country has these, and as part of sportsmanship and camaraderie, you trade them with other countries. But it becomes like this weird little bidding war where like some folks are like, I'm going to get every pin from every country. And so it gets really competitive. Folks have hats full of pins. I have a lot of pins. And there's one pin that everybody, the smaller countries are the most valuable, Cayman Islands. They have a golden turtle. Really cool pin. I don't know if you saw that one. It's a big golden turtle. Everybody wanted that pin.
Nobody ever got that.
I sure got it right here in my closet.
I'm gonna break into your house.
I have. Hey, you know, I wasn't winning medals like y'all.
The turtle is like this. The turtle is like gangster. And then Bahrain has one where it's like a gold.
But yeah. I think I have that too. Listen. I don't have a medal like you. So when y'all are winning medals and I'm done after the first round or so, I'm you know, I'm pin trading. I'm like, okay, let me get that. Yeah, I'm a tourist.
It's fun. And you get to like and you get to meet other people. Because when you're trading, like they give you information about their country and stuff like that. And it's like so good. And it's just like the excitement and love and everybody's just united and one and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, the Olympic Village is super cool.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Everything is, and McDonald's was
fun. That was the first time I remember I was starstruck. I was leaving the cafeteria and Yao Ming, you know, he was playing for China. He was standing at a corner waiting for a bus and he was standing next to a stop sign. And I remember watching him on TV being like, you know, compared to Shaq, he looked skinny. But I was looking at this guy and I was like, well, I'm the size of his leg. Like it would take four of me to move him an inch. That's how big this guy looked. And his head was next to the top of a stop sign. I was like, man, this guy is amazing.
It was so cool, like, being in the same space with all the NBA players. And
yeah, that was cool.
Soccer players. It was like, you're like, and then, like, the Venus and Serena, and you're like, whoa, that's them. But because we know like the stuff that they go through in the US with the paparazzi stuff, like
you try not to stress them out
or stare too much.
I'm not going
you're like look But then if they give you the smile and the okay, and you go over and you're like,
who got in trouble for saying something? Was that you? Was that you who tried to talk the boat and somebody gave you an attitude? Huh? Somebody told me they tried to say something to Bolt, and it like somebody was like, "Nah, not right now." I don't remember who that was.
It probably was me because I was security. So with Bolt, me, Maurice Smith, and Chelsea, the 2008 Olympics. Yeah, Maurice, Chelsea, and Zara. We were his bodyguards. He doesn't go anywhere without us.
Okay.
So if somebody's coming over, he'll nudge somebody. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry.
But y'all protected from the people. Someone told me a story where they were trying to say hi to him. It might have been, I don't remember who it was. It might have been Laverne. Somebody where
if it was Laverne, it wouldn't be. I wouldn't, like, Laverne would have gotten accent. Maybe it wasn't.
I don't know which meet it was, but it was just funny. Like someone tried to bother Bolt.
If it was me and it was Laverne would have gotten access. The thing is, you know, like, if you're my homie, then yeah.
You have access to the great one.
But if you're not, then no.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to need you to get the intro. I need you to get the intro popping so we could get him on the home stretch.
I know.
Uh-huh. So, Olympics 04 and, came back in 08. I usually like to talk about that transition from the collegiate competition into the professional piece. You were still in college when you went to the 04 games.
Yes.
Yeah. And then so afterwards, I mean, going into your pro career, you would have had some experience at that level, obviously. But how was that transition for you, being an Olympian already, leaving college, being a double NCAA champion, and now going into your pro career?
I mean, it was scary because the work was different and the focus was different. I think it was more serious. College was more fun and you're enjoying yourself. And I probably should have taken the fun with me when I was pro.
Well, you got to pay the bills now.
Yeah. So it was like, it was more like.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to NCAA, just going to chill. Like now it's more like everything has to be a specific way. I have to eat a specific way. I have to go to sleep a specific time. I have to wake up. I have to go to gym. I have to do massage therapy. I have to go to physical therapy. I have to go to therapy for my head.
Oh, wait. So this is good. So did you find that when you became a pro, that's when you had to refocus and say, I need to take these things seriously and do all of these things if I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
So you have to recommit to it.
Yeah. And then it was like college was more fun and I was a little more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And then when I went pro, I kept overthinking stuff. So I had a therapist for my head.
It's important. I feel like a lot of athletes, I mean, it's beneficial, you know, it's sports psychology and getting therapy for competition, man. So much of competing is mental, you know.
It is.
You can psych yourself in or out, you know, you can psych yourself out or, you know, I have so many stories that I've heard that sound similar to your experience at NCAAs. So many stories where you weren't ranked or you weren't supposed to win and someone said something that just irritated you. And then you went out there. I could right now tell five stories from five different people where that happened. They weren't supposed to win. And someone said something, didn't announce their name when they were a former champion or put them in lane eight or one or, you know, just something to make them take it personally, to make you stop overthinking it. And you just take it personally. Like, how dare you? You know what? Okay. And just like you said, he was like, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm not ranked.
And that's the thing, like with Bolt, like he be chill and the American sprinters say something that was like, y'all should have just been staying be
left
nice
him alone.
To him. Not the worst thing you could do is to talk smack about him. Because if you talk smack about him, it's on.
Let me tell you when I learned. And not like I have a million Bolt stories, but I'm going to tell you when I learned. Karifta. It was Karifta. Because I had gotten way better quickly. And so I went from, Jamaica World Juniors getting last to Karifta, you know, getting into the finals with top two times. Yeah. And so I'm in the 200 finals at Karifta after having been bad the year before. And now I'm like, okay. And I'm going into the finals with Bolt in the 200. And this is before he became like Super Bolt. Yeah. It's when he was still like semi-human Bolt. Like he was still faster than Norm. But you, no reason for you to think he was unbeatable. So I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to get this guy. He's all tall and skinny. I'm going to blast him out the blocks and throw his race off. Because, you know, I'm shorter. I get out quick. Man, the going off, also his kneecaps.
And yeah, he's a 400 meter. He was a 400 meter runner before he switched now.
Yeah. But no, I thought, yeah, I know. It was a, no, but I thought I would make him, you know, you could pop about your dry phase because somebody got out a little quick and you're not patient. So I was like, man, my strategy is going to throw him off. No, he didn't care. He didn't care. He just.
And it's like tradition. Like you're not like we once the person before you won for Jamaica, you have to win.
Yes.
So it's just like it's like tradition. Like we have to like the aim is to go out there and win.
Well, the U.S. has that too. I was talking to Dwight, and he was talking about one of his first world championships where he lost, and he said Carl Lewis called him up. He's like, hey. USA doesn't lose the long jump.
Don't let
it happen again. He's like,
It never happened again.
He's like, yes, sir, my bad. Yeah, so I get it. You know, that's the nature of it. You know, you win certain events and you build up that legacy. Yeah. So it's interesting. But I'm lucky enough to have, even though I wasn't dropping fast times, I was there to see some special moments. Like, I don't know if you were in Paris when Kim won the 100.
Oh yeah, I was there.
Oh man, Kim Collins winning 100 and Darryl Brown at 18 or 19 getting second in 100. Yeah. That was pre-Bolt, pre-Asafa. This
but
is
Bolt
like
was actually there though.
Yeah, but this is before Bolt. Like this before he was the man. This is where you didn't even know.
I think Asafa got disqualified with John Drummond. Remember
is that when John Drummond was laying in the
I love him.
That was hilarious.
Was the high point of my high school life.
That meet was hilarious when he got DQ'd and he said he didn't, and he was laying on the track and laying in the vault in the steeplechase water. He went in the steeplechase water on the practice track.
Yeah, it's like I'm
wild times. Yeah, but no, it was so exciting because two Caribbean guys got first and second. And it was the first time, because USA was 100, 100, 100. You know, what was it? Mo Green and before, you know, and just, I mean, I could go back years and years of
dominating. That was Mo Green era.
Yeah.
It was
but even before him, you had, you know, Carl Lewis and Borrell and all, you know, like going back before. So USA had been so strong in 100.
Yeah.
And then it was like two Caribbean guys came out and obviously Kim had a reputation, but it was just exciting to be there, you know, and all the Caribbean folks went wild.
Oh, we went crazy because it was like once anybody from the Caribbean wins something.
Come on.
The entire Caribbean.
Well, they put all the Caribbean people in the same area. So if you don't know this, when you're at the World Championship or Olympics, they kind of group regions in some way. So all the Caribbean folks are, you know, Jamaica and Trinidad, everyone's in the same kind of areas.
Yeah. And that, the coolest thing is like when we get to go to eat, like you see everybody you know from like Karifta and like
Karifta, CACs
and college and all of that stuff. And it was like just like a whole melting pot of just people and we just love and it's so crazy. It's funny, like people will think that the US, the Americans and the Jamaicans hate each other the way they are on track.
It's just competitive. It's competition, you know?
And then after the meet, and then we all in the cafeteria, like, joking and laughing and talking about the race. It's fun. I loved all my experiences and all the people I got to interact with. And the thing for me, I got to watch Michael Johnson run the world record.
Oh man,
that was art in motion.
Wait, you were there?
Yeah.
Oh man,
I was like in high school, so they like Jamaica, they usually bring like a young kid to like, you know, observes everything. And I was there and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
see, like, you just couldn't take your eye off him. He was like just so smooth. Like his form was just, he's just like perfect. And like, I was like, and when he, the world record popped, you're like, okay. I was in the stadium. That's cool.
I don't know, Aileen. You were a beast too, though, man. You went hard in competition for sure.
Yeah, I did. Because my thing is, like, I have, once I'm there, I have to just go out there and do my best. My best, like, regardless.
Yeah, you never were about games. You always were serious when you lined up.
Yeah, so it just because when I go out there, I'm representing my country. I'm representing my family, and you know, I'm pretty much representing the entire Caribbean. Because, like, yeah. I said. Like, you know, once you're from the Caribbean, like, you belong to the Caribbean. Like, so when we won our 4x1 gold, like, I remember when the Bahamas won their gold, their Olympic gold medal, it was like the entire Caribbean won, because, yeah, you know, the whole aim is to beat the U.S.
You know what's funny? It kind of is. It is. It really is. U.S., I'm sorry. Y'all dominant. We all would just want to beat you.
The whole point was just to beat the U.S. That's it.
Trinidad, St. Kitts, whatever, wherever you're from, Grenada.
I feel the craziest thing is that the only time I... like I had mixed emotions with the women's 400 hurdles.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I could see that.
I was like, but I love Shinda and I love Millie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't cheer for this race.
So tell me about 08, because y'all came back to defend, you know, y'all 2004 win. And things didn't go the way you wanted.
No, it didn't. So
what happened?
So I got fifth at the trials, and they only used the first four.
Mm-hmm.
So they used me and Brooks for the heat.
Okay.
So we ran the rounds, and we ran the fastest time.
Everybody. So y'all had the fastest time in the heats.
Yeah, we had the fastest time in the heats, and we're leading for the year.
And they changed, they switched it up.
There was like no way for us to lose. But I understand the switch up enough, because we got 1, 2, 3 in the 100. So definitely you have to use those people. And then Veronica just won the 200. So we have to. So yeah. Instead of the coaches focus on getting the sticker wrong, mm-hmm. Much like, well, world record, look. Good.
See, that's what happened. Y'all should have won it then. Y'all went for the record. Y'all pushed the Exchange Jones out.
Yeah.
Oh, but there you go.
The thing is, the information that they were supposed to pass on to the second and the third leg runner, which was Caron, they didn't, because Sharon would say reach to slow you down, but it takes, she has to, like,
oh, she calls sure. it early. So you slow down.
So she can make sure, like, she sees your hand.
Yeah, yeah. So she's going into your hand.
Yeah, so she runs straight into your hand.
Yeah, yeah, so, smart.
So the information that was told to the coach to pass to Caron, not to panic, didn't go to Caron.
Not to panic, Caron, as she's waiting with her hand up.
She put her hand up and she was waiting.
Waiting for a long time. And she turned around.
She turned around right as Sharon was getting into her hand. And
this is something only track people would understand.
And I was like, I told these idiots to tell her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And that's just because they went for the record.
Yeah. They would have. Yeah. The thing is, they would have, but the coaches, instead of passing on the information, they was like just feeding it into their heads that they can run the world record. But he had just given her that one information, like, don't panic, she's going to get to you. She just said, reach early.
But they didn't work.
Because 2004 Olympics, if you watch the 2004 Olympics.
You're waiting for it.
My hand was up there for a good minute.
Yeah, she calls way early. But yeah. But you guys worked the zone.
She wants to run into it.
But you guys worked the zone, right? So it's like, they should have known that already if they had done any exchanges.
But the thing is, like, they didn't get to do exchanges as much.
Yeah, but they did some though, right?
Right before the race.
Yeah, that's not going. Yeah, because once the race start.
Yeah, and like right before the race, because I was there watching the warm-ups, and I was like, dude, I was like to the coach because I couldn't go in with because they were rushing to leave, so I couldn't get to them before they get into the room where they. But the coaches had access, so I told one of the coaches to like you know tell her. Either adjust or
just yeah, because when you're in a 4x1 and you're waiting for that person and the stands are going crazy and they're coming down and then you hit that tape and you go and you cross into the zone and you have your hand up, 2 seconds feels like 10 minutes.
Ooh, yes.
Like 2 seconds is the, you are like, and you have your hand up and you're like, okay, where's the baton? Where's the baton? Where's the baton? And you're trying not to get out of the zone.
Yeah.
And that urge to just turn around and look. Oh man. It's
and
tough.
And then the energy with the team was off anyways. Because yeah. Because
of the switch.
With the switch, and then there was like a whole drama before we
But
got
that's
there.
Always the downfall I feel with the American team is the constant switching, the constant political battling of and trying to position. This coach is trying to position themselves to be a national coach. This athlete wants is politicking to get on the relay. Yeah, it's all the drama. It's like, well, I should get to run on the relay because of this, or no, this person should get to go, or and it happens all the time. And sometimes, what you that's the result. You know, you lose something that you should have. You know,
but and that's the thing, like with I am flexible on a relay team because I learned that at South Carolina. Mm. Like at South Carolina, it doesn't matter like if at home at South Carolina we were all in an argument and we weren't talking to each other. As soon as we get to the track meet and on the track, the argument and us not talking to each other is done.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
And then once we run, like we forgot that we were arguing and we were back. So yeah. It's just, and that's the mentality I went on with, because you know, you can't allow outside influence to affect, you know, your performance. So
mm-hmm. But, that's true. Very, very true.
And then as you can see, like Jamaica kept, we just been having drama. Well, the men's team never had drama. And people like found it funny that half of the time you see Bolt on the third leg or.
Why?
Because that's where he fit.
Yeah, that's a great leg. Yeah, no, and I never was with that.
People was like, why isn't he anchoring? Because that's where he fit.
I never have been a part of that philosophy.
And he never had, and Bolt never had like, oh, I'm Usain Bolt, I have to run this leg or I have to run that leg or I'm not running. Like, he's the one that like, here's the thing. You and him work better together. You and him work better together.
Period.
That's all the team is.
Period. That's a 4x1. You have some guys who are really good at coming out the block on a curve. You have some guys who are excellent 100 meter runners, but on a curve, they will get smoked by a 200 meter runner who's running that first curve.
And the only time, and the one, like after when Johan came along, that was when Bolt moved from the third leg.
Yeah, you don't even need him on the anchor when you got. Yeah. I mean, Johan had the fastest 100 meter split ever, right? In that 200, in that 200 he ran. Coming off that curve, poof.
Yeah. So
goodness.
So, I mean, it worked. It gelled. Like, and then it's just the thing is like the coaches didn't like with both and his relay team, the coaches didn't have a say in what they do.
Yeah, it's like, the politics.
It's they're like, no, it's us. We're the ones running. This is how it is.
Yeah.
But with the girls, it's like different. I'll be there like, really? We're gonna be doing this? We're having an emotional breakdown right now. Why? So, but I guess like with being raised with boys, and then most of my friends are boys.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But yeah, if you notice, like at South Carolina, I was pretty much hanging like was just me and the dudes.
Yeah, you always hang. Yeah, that's true. You, that's true. That's
true. I was hanging out with you guys. So
yeah. So tell me, okay, so right now, you know, you've hung up your spikes, you're coaching, right? Yes. Giving back. And you're also a sponsor for the XL Club, was it?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So it's a club at a high school, and they're like a branch of the Exchange Club. Mm-hmm. So the Exchange Club, what they do is like they help with prevention of child abuse and child abuse and sexual abuse. So so the XL Club, it offers the kids will like do essays and they get scholarship, and then they do community service stuff. So it's just a club that teach them how to be better leaders and how to help their community in any way that they can. So this year, because of the pandemic, we unable to go into the community, and like these girls that I'm working with, they're so good. So they created a tutoring part, so they're tutoring like just like the middle school kids, and I've sat in on a couple of their tutoring session, and they're so good with the kids. They're doing helping middle schoolers, and like if the kid don't understand, they'll stay on it. They don't trust back it, because a lot of time teachers are teaching. And then when the little kid's like, and the kids are like, I was like, so it's like, and I love that, because it's create like just the younger kids having like a high schooler, like hanging out with them and talking with them and tutoring them. And then it's so crazy. Like it'll start off as like a tutoring session, and then they just have like conversation, like how their day is going, and like if they have like other subject that they're having issues with. So it's it's good. And then my track team getting the gist of it, trying to be patient, because I don't have patience. You know us athletes have patience. So I'm learning patience, and I'm teaching. I'm trying to teach them. It's just hard because they don't have the base. So I'm teaching high school kids base. There's like a couple of them that have like the understanding, but, and I don't want to single out, move them, but then I don't want to hold the ones that already progressed in back. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. And I love books. So I'm a library assistant. So I've been reading. I love reading when I was little. My mom says I used to walk around with a backpack with books and climb a tree. Yep.
That sounds like something very islandy to do. Yes.
So now I'm reading, and I'm trying to see if I can read 100 books before the year end.
Oh. So
the aim is to read 2 books per week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing good so far.
Well, gold medalist, I'm sure if you put your mind to it, that's an easy one there too.
Oh yeah, it's like I swear, like everything we
do. You got to make it a track meet.
Challenge, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you go into track mode immediately with everything. Yeah. I play around with the kids sometimes when they're doing block start.
Do your kids know you were fast? Like, do they see videos of you, or do they think you were slow?
I didn't tell them anything.
Do they know?
Now they know.
Really?
Now they know. So now, like, at first, they're like, who is she?
Do they? They want to listen to you.
No. And then when they found out, they was like, I don't know.
Do they try to challenge you? Have you raced any of them?
No, they haven't.
Ah, come on.
But I'll do, like, with one of my kids, he's my my sprinter. He's really good. Every once in a while, I'll get in blocks with him. And I'll threaten that I'm going to bring my spike one day.
Do you still got it?
I do have a pair in the car just in case. No,
do you still got it though?
Just in case. I still got my first 10 step.
That first 10 meters doesn't really go away. I have a nasty 10 meters too.
And that's all I need.
Yeah.
If I beat you for 10 meter, I'm going to talk smack it's all over. The time.
I'm sure you were always powerful, man. I'm sure for 10 meters, you'll get somebody.
But he not letting me beat him for 10 meters, and I like that.
Good. Oh, he get mad. Oh, so he's like, no, you're not beating me.
The first time I did, and he was like, because he didn't beat me. because I didn't even warm up. And he was like,
oh, man. Come on, man. Don't do that to the kid.
And I was like, I ain't even using no blocks, and I'm going to smoke you.
Wow. So and, do you have, oh, I don't want to cut you off, go ahead.
No, and it, no, after that, he, yeah, I haven't won yet.
So do you have any advice for all of the boys and girls listening to you who are, you know, setting goals and making dreams, and whether it's becoming an Olympic medalist or, you know, becoming an executive or whatever it is, what advice do you have for those who are chasing their dreams?
Just keep working hard and get a mentor.
Oh.
Specifically in the field that you're trying to get into.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Get a mentor. I like this one.
Get a mentor. Because you need, like, the thing is, when you're trying to get from point A to point B, you can't surround yourself with people that's not thinking the same way you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they'll think you're acting like you're better than us. You want to be a doctor.
Yeah. Misery likes company too.
Yeah. And then a lot of times what kids do is they're dummy down their self to fit in.
Yes. Yes. They don't want to be called a try hard, or they don't want to look like, yeah, yeah, you're right.
I don't want to be the nerd.
Yeah. They who's trying too hard them. Academically or athletically.
Yeah. So they dummy down their self to fit in. And
great point.
You know, you have to surround yourself with friends that are not going to tell you well, we need to go hang out when you have like a test tomorrow that you have to study for. Like, mm-hmm. keep friends that will actually study with you.
Oh, friends that'll support you and prioritize friends, the things that are important to you, and not try to take away
and
from
vice
it.
Vice versa. Yeah. But a mentor, like me having a mentor when I was 16 changed the way I saw, because when you have somebody else believing in you, that's not family and friend.
Bam. Bam. There we go.
Yeah. When you have
someone believing in you.
Yeah. Someone believing in
you. And not believing in you because they have to, because they're related, but because they really believe in you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
They see your potential and they see how hard you're working, and they're going to push you to that level that you need to get to. So just, you know, have somebody that believe in you the same way you believe in yourself, and it flows. And just never give up. There's failure. Like, you will fail a million times.
Yeah, it sucks. Fail. Too. Yeah.
You will fail, and failure sucks, but you just got to brush yourself off, get up, and just try again, because, you know, never know. Third time's a charm.
yes, you will fail, and you will fail often, but the people who succeed and who win, they fail and get better and keep trying. That's right, you know.
Because all these mega businesses, like Ford, his first car was not all that. Mercedes' first car wasn't all that.
Yeah.
You know, Tesla wasn't all that. Now
the Wright brothers trying to build a plane. They have some raggedy looking planes.
Disney was horrible at first, but now look, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone fails.
Yeah. And sometimes that's a lesson that, and I'm trying to, you know, just keep repeating that so people hear it more often, because I haven't heard it a lot. I think growing up, I heard it a lot, but now I don't hear it often. And I think sometimes people think failure is, you know, like it's an outlier, like, oh, you shouldn't fail. You're failing. Like, no, literally failing is how you get better.
It discourages a child that's trying to, like, it's kind of like when your toddler is trying to walk and they fall on their bottoms. After
you fail, that's it. You're done. No, you're never going to walk. Don't try it again. Walk. Yeah.
Like, come on. You can do it.
Yeah.
And then they see the excitement in you, and you're just like, okay, cool. So falling wasn't a bad thing. Let me try this thing again.
So for Maylene Bailey, folks, you heard it. Find a mentor, somebody who can support you. Doesn't have to be friends or family. Even better if they're not. Somebody who believes in you. I like it. And, you know, never give up, because failing is just a part of the game.
And always have a why. Why am I doing this?
Why?
Yeah, why? And just have meetings, have weekly and monthly meeting with yourself to see where you've gone. Like schedule time with yourself. Like, okay, I wanted to accomplish this today, but I didn't. Here's why. Let me. I'm gonna do it. Just have meetings. Schedule meetings with yourself.
Check-ins. Like
check-ins with yourself to brainstorm. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Practical things you could do, folks.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining me, Aileen Bailey, Olympic gold medalist, world champion gold medalist, NCAA champion, blah, 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 Carifta Games, Pan Am Games medalist, amazing sprinter, wonderful person, just all of that good stuff.
I'm from the Caribbean, the best place in the continent.
Yes, Jamaica, from JA, the Caribbean. I don't know if you cook Jamaican food.
I do.
Do you? Okay. I'll make fun of you if you didn't. Oxtail, my favorite dish. Thank you very much.
Next time I'm on your side of town.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So it was great talking to you. And yeah, thanks for coming on for sure. We do this again sometime.
It's good, definitely.
All right.
I'm looking forward to this thing growing, man. You're doing so good.
I appreciate you. Hey, look, I wanna, The information that you're given and Lashinda is given and all these folks who have, done these things, gotten success, I think is information everyone should have. We should share it. Everyone can be successful at something. You don't have to be an Olympic gold medalist. You don't have to be a world championship medalist. But wherever you are, there's something that you can pursue that seems unreachable that you can reach. So use these tools. Figure out what it is that you want. Use these tools, find a mentor, checking in with yourself, never giving up, and pursue that thing that you want. YOLO, you only live once. Why not?
Yeah.
Look at you. You have like 20 medals and you're still young and you could still do anything else.
I know.
Anything.
I've been running. I ran a half marathon.
No, we're not going to talk about distance. Get out of here.
No, Aileen. I did. I ran a half marathon 2019.
No, thank you.
Sprints only. This year.
Sprints podcast. Aileen Bailey, everyone. Thank you, Aileen.
You're welcome.